Welcome to Platform for Peaks, teaching students to be leaders, doctors to be businessmen, and developing the platforms needed to jump into practice and be successful. I'm your host, Dr. Joseph Clarino. Welcome to Platform for Peaks.
Hey guys, welcome to another awesome episode of Platform for Peak. I am your host, Dr. Joe Clarino, and I am super excited to be here as always. We have pounded out another killer whiteboard session. Many of you have met me at the Peak Mixers and at Life Vision and other events around campus, so I'm glad to be on board here. I'm with the two studs, Matt and Brad, so say hello.
Hey, how you doing?
How's it going, guys?
So, man, we just unfolded a huge, huge subject matter that we didn't have a whole lot of understanding what was going on, but we uncovered a lot. We talked about a few different areas. We talked about where conversion happens in your practice. So what parts of conversion are there? So just give me a few things that we talked about conversion.
Yeah, so conversion is basically how to get a patient to go from an understander to a believer and keep them around in your practice. So front desk is one of the things that goes into that. The flow of the office, the new patient exam, the report of findings, the re-exams, the care plans and all, and the initial phone call all go into conversion.
Yeah, because those are all things that are going to make a patient go from an outside world of having no understanding what's going on to being converted into understanding, okay, this is how the process works, this is what they do, this is why they do it. Those are all the things that anchor a patient in. And so conversion is a huge part of your practice, mm-hmm. What goes on. The second thing is retention, right? And so retention, Dr. Brad, give me some points on retention. You know, what are the things that are going to get people to, one, understand your care, two, stick around and refer people and send people in, and give me some of those points that we talked about.
Right. That's the goal, lifetime patients, right?
Yes.
So we want good quality of care, so how the doctor acts with the patient, treatments, you know, how the patient's progressing. Also the flow of the office.
Critical.
You know, we want to keep the flow at a common rate.
Let's just unfold that for half a second.
Right.
So, like, flow is big because if people wait too long, what do?
They get tired of it.
They get tired of it. You know what I mean? So your wait time is critical to what you're doing. You know, I love the offices that want to see patients for an hour, and God bless them. And they'll attract those people that want to come to an office for an hour. But today's world, people are moving and grooving, man. They got kids. They got after-school activities. They got work. They got travel schedules. People just don't have time. Time is a commodity. Remember, when we ask people for become a patient and accept care here, we're asking for a few things, right? We're asking for their money.
Their time.
Their time and their energy.
Right.
And when you unfold those three things, they're big commodities in people's lives today. So Understand what you're asking for when you ask someone to come in your office and be part of your culture and as a patient. Give me some more retention things. That was great.
Let's see. We have table talk. That's our number one thing for patient retention, like continuously educating the patient, you know, just little tidbits of stuff that they can take home just while you're adjusting them. Front desk communication, testimonials, and the culture of the office.
Yeah, and the culture spins back into front desk even. And what I mean by that is you'll see many of you that are either out there or starting to get out there, you'll say something to a patient like, go home and eat a pound of greens tonight. I don't know, whatever. And the patient will go up front and go to the front desk and say, how much greens should I really eat? You know? And if your staff doesn't know that answer, or they question, because they're always questioning your staff. They do it between me and my wife. They do it between other doctors. They'll literally go from me to my wife to the staff to another doctor to you guys. They'll go around and they're looking for what?
The easy answer.
Right, or inconsistency, so they can justify what they're thinking.
Yep.
And the second one of you are off, guess what happens? Everything you said went down the toilet, turned into dog shit. And so that's why having a team on board is so critical, because you got to make sure everybody's on board, because they're going to challenge you. And then when everybody's rock solid in the same thought process, guess what happens? They have no out in their brain, so they have to anchor in. That's it. That's the biggest thing. And that is your culture. Your culture is what you stand for. Your culture is what you believe. Your culture is what you're projecting on people and how they're taking that and applying it to their lives. That is the biggest thing you can do. And your staff is such a huge part of it. You will only grow as big as your staff wants you to grow. So people say, well, I have four people. Well, and I only see this. Yeah, because you don't want it to grow. Right. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's really important from that perspective. Great. And the last thing, well, second to last thing was attraction, right? Give me some great things on attractions. I think this is such a big thing for chiropractors. We're always worried about this.
Yeah, so attraction's basically anything that's going to bring the patient into the office. Just as things such as driving past your sign every day and seeing it light up, sitting there in a good location, your website, social media, lunch and learns, referrals that you get from people. And again, the culture goes into that too.
Yeah, it's also part of your attraction. So you have, I think attraction, you can break it down to really two things. You have outside attraction and you have internal attraction, right? So what part of retention is also part of, I think, dribbles over into attraction because you're attracting that patient into the office as well. But mainly it's outside, you know, it's outside attraction. And the biggest thing is your presence. So, you know, the internet today is such a big player in that. You know, you go to buy a pair of shoes, what do you do first?
Review.
You review it. You research it. You want to see what it's about. You want to see someone wearing them. You want to see what they're doing. You want to talk about an innominate, how do you say that word?
Whatever that word is.
I can't. I got new lips yesterday, so I'm having a hard time with them. But so when you know, you buy something that you have nothing to do with, but you want to find out what it is, who likes it, how come, why. Yeah. Well, they're doing the same thing with you. As a doctor, they want to know, what is he doing? How is she doing it? Are they good? Are they sincere? I want to get to know them. That's why little videos online, they sound stupid, but they're so pertinent because they get to know you. Often, man, when I had TV commercials, people would come in my office and be like, act like they knew me. And we were on a TV show from my house years ago on HGTV, and people would literally walk in my office from that show and act like they were my best friend from fourth grade, and I never met them. But people want to feel like they're familiar with something. So you give them that familiarity, and you do it through social media and different outlets. It's such an important aspect. And then the last thing is probably team building, and that's critical. I think it's one of the things that most chiropractors veer away from is building their team and having the right trainings and systems in place and the right people doing the right jobs. And it, so often they just kind of just – like, especially the doctor with the wife. You know, they marry a wife. She's not a doctor. Mm-hmm. She's running the practice. They just come up and throw up on the wife and say, here, run it. I have female chiropractors. They do the same thing to their husbands. They walk in and they're like, they just want to be the doctor. They want to deal with all the crap. They just give it to them. Well, guess what, man? They didn't run a chiropractic office either, probably. Yep. So the likelihood is they don't know how they're doing either. So they're lost, and then both parties are lost, and then they're fighting, and it turns into a giant shitstorm. So you don't want that. So it's a big, big thing. Having team trainings and knowing who's doing what duties and why. One of the things we did go through today briefly was just talking about our positions in our office and our what they do and what their responsibilities are. So we ran through like office manager, what is her duties personally. We went through my check-in, we went through my check-out, we went through my back office. So we went through all those things and hang on 1 second, guys. Make sure that we're still working. We are. Go live. My computer freaked out. So making sure that everybody has a clear description of their jobs. Now, when you get into an office with one staff, everybody's got to grab all those tasks. Mm-hmm. Now, your processes and systems are a little simpler because you don't have as much going on, but you still have a lot of these core things that have to get done. And if they're not doing them and you don't have an understanding of what those things are, how do you have somebody accountable for it? You can't because you don't even know yourself. So understanding these duties is important, and we can unfold that another day. But one of the things I really wanted to jump in today, what we did on the whiteboard today was PI. We talked about personal injury. And was that an eye-opener or was that an eye-opener?
Yeah. Blew my mind.
It was kind of cool, right? So some high-level stuff, we'll go into it from that perspective, is often people think of PI, and we know a lot of PI practices out there that do very, very well. And the PI is a lucrative part of chiropractic, no question about it. And we do about 14 to 18% of our practice is PI. Just because my area, that's kind of what it supports. When you get closer to cities, it usually has more of it. There's lots of cases in the Atlanta area. It's a city, so there's lots of car accidents every day.
Yeah. Every 45 seconds is a car accident.
In Georgia?
Atlanta? Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they can't freaking drive here. My God, man. I'm from New Jersey. People can drive up there. People can't drive down here. And so here's what happens. When a person gets into a car accident, right, how do you base your care? Like someone walks in and they said, doctor, I was in a car accident. I want to see you. What are the two things you're thinking about right away? What are the two things that should go up in your head?
If they have an attorney?
Right.
Have an attorney, sorry.
If they have an attorney is number one, right? That's the first thing you think in the back of your head. And two,
the damage to the car?
Damage to the car. Now, listen, when I say two things you're thinking about, obviously you're worried about the patient.
Yeah.
Please don't think I'm just being pigheaded here. But the things business-wise, what are you thinking about? You're thinking about, do they have an attorney and how much damage is to the car? Okay, let's unfold the car part. Why is the car damage critical to the case?
Because that kind of tells how much that the case is worth.
Right. And it's an unwritten rule, okay? So if you have $1,000 in car damage and the patient's hurt, regardless of how much damage is to the patient, unless you can prove it and it's enough to, like, they blew a disc out or they broke something in that $1,000 accident or something like that, which is very unlikely. Remember, the hardest thing to prove in a PI case is
soft tissue,
right? It's the hardest thing to prove. So unless you're MRIing it and you have, and they have no pre-existing, because they will dig up pre-existing. They'll go back through their medical records and look for something pre-existing. Usually with a small case, they don't. Bigger cases, they look. If that patient had low back problems prior, they're going to try to anchor the insurance company's going to try to anchor their case that they had a problem before. Mm-hmm. Now, regardless, doesn't make a difference. If they had a back problem, they're allowed to have a back problem. They're not allowed to be exacerbated by the car accident. It's not allowed to have more damage to their spine than was before. So that's how you determine the pre-existing, you overcome the pre-existing, right? So you got to make sure you get that out of that patient in the new patient exam, because if not, you miss that, guess what happens? You're going to get caught in the backside, okay? So car damage. So here's how it normally works. $1,000 in damage does what, Dr. Brad?
$1,000 in damage to a car correlates to about $1,000 to $2,000 for the doctor.
Yeah, and sometimes depending on a patient's costs. Yeah, sometimes a patient, you look at that, maybe $3,000. Now, if you think about it, how much is that in bills? That's probably 8 to 10 visits. But doctor, you just released my patient 8 to 10 visits. Were they really better? No, they probably were not at the level that you would like them to be. Understand that you're taking a risk in your business model of seeing the patient longer and more for a small accident. Have I gotten paid more on those kind of accidents? Yes, I have. Have I gotten paid less? Yes, I have. So you got to understand that there is a give and take in that model, and you got to know what's happening and what's going on. Now, number two thing, right? So if it's a $15,000 in car damage, does that mean the patient is hurt as bad as the car?
No,
it doesn't. Like, I've seen $15,000 in damage, $20,000 in damage, and the patient's like, man, I feel great. Like, nothing's wrong with me. I have a little bump in my arm, and that's it. And you're like, okay. Sometimes those cases only go for $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. You know what I mean? Sometimes those cases go for $7,000, $8,000. Doctors, listen to me loud and clear. Don't be a moron. Don't go out there with a $2,000 damaged car and charge the insurance company $10,000, $15,000 in chiropractic fees. You're going to do it once. The attorney's never going to work with you again. He's going to tell every other attorney in the Atlanta area about you, and you're going to burn all your attorneys out before you know it, and you're never going to have a relationship with anybody. And guess what? You're going to be on the sideline sucking wind. Don't be ignorant. Don't be greedy. Don't be stupid. Best practices always serves best. Best practices always serve best. So often chiropractors are so like, give me, I'm dying, that they'll try to rob everybody they can, and all it does is going to get you in trouble. Be smart about the care. It's about the patient, number one. Number two, it's about your business. And if those two things line up perfectly, you'll always take care of the patient perfect, and you'll always get paid well. Fair enough, right?
Yep.
Pretty good? Mm-hmm. Second thing, right? So we unfold the car prospect. Second thing, what? The attorney, right? So a patient walks in, I've been in a car accident, and they say, I have a friend of mine who's an attorney, and you don't know them.
Mm-hmm.
What does that do for you? What are you thinking?
You're thinking that you want to meet with that person, you want to build a relationship with that attorney, but...
Sorry. Tomorrow. No, you're right. Yeah, you're good.
So, because if you don't know that attorney, then you're probably not going to get paid very well for that, and you're taking a big risk taking them on as a patient. So if you don't see eye to eye with that attorney, then you need to release the patient.
Yeah, but doctor, my patient's going to sign a lien. Doesn't that protect me?
Not always.
Yes or no? No, it doesn't. Sorry, guys. Wah. Next. Liens don't hold a ton. So you got to understand that it isn't always 100% on the lien. It's relative to... you know, what's going on with your relationship with the attorney. So first thing I do, get on a horn. I call the attorney. I meet him for lunch. He don't want to meet. He don't want to talk to me. I release the patient.
Bye.
Bye, Felicia. Right? Listen, I'm telling you, I've lost hundreds of thousands on this. I'm speaking out of experience because I was too stupid and ignorant to figure it out way back when. So now, if I don't know you, if you don't want to meet me, and you don't want to build a relationship with me, I don't take the patient, or they pay out of pocket. And 99% of them are going to pay out of pocket. So you got to be okay with that, right? But what they may have, right? So say you don't know the attorney, but they have something called what? Here in Georgia.
Is it MedPay?
MedPay, right? So basically it's their insurance. They got hit. Their insurance, their car insurance, has a policy called MedPay. Every state's different. Like Florida has something called PIP. I know every state has something uniquely different. It's processed a little differently. But in Georgia, if you got hit by somebody and you have this coverage, which you all should be checking on your insurance, and if you have it, then what happens, they could be at $1,000 in MedPay, $5,000, I've seen $50,000, $100,000 in MedPay. That means that regardless of what happened, your insurance picks up all the medical bills, 100%, no questions asked. It's awesome. It's killer, okay? So we love that because we submit this stuff every week. We get paid every other week. We get paid, bam, 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 on a case, right? Why do attorneys love that?
Because they end up making a lot of money off of it as well.
Yeah, because here's what happens. See, in the state of Georgia, it's legal what you can do at the end of the case. You got paid on your services. And at the end of the case, you could submit your bills to the overall case against the third party's insurance, which is the person who hit you. It's the third party's insurance. You submit your bills to that as well. You're not getting paid on the bills, but it's part of the case file.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do is they base that on the total thing. So say there's $5,000 in car damage. Your bill was $4,000. She went to the emergency room. That was $2,500 for the emergency room visit. So the bills, the medical bills are $6,500. The medical bills took their $2,500, right, up front. You got paid $2,500 of yours. The $5,000 in MedPay was covered. You still owed $1,500, but they take that whole thing to the third party and they settle for $20,000-$25,000. So the attorney pays you the rest of your money, the $1,500 he owes you, whatever $1,500 I said, and then he takes his 33-40%, whatever the contract says, and then the patient makes the rest for pain and suffering. Great. If you don't have MedPay, then that $4,000 in medical services have to come out of that $20,000-$25,000.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's 33%, say he's $6,500, you're $4,000, that puts you at $10,500, that leaves the patient at say $9,000-$10,000. You know what I'm saying? And these are big numbers. That really doesn't always happen that way. You know what I mean? It's people think instantly that they're gonna get paid rich. Right? So those are the two factors. So make sure you have an attorney you know. If you don't know him, call him, get on a horn with them or her, make relationships, ask him to send you people. When you sit down with them, explain how you work your cases. You don't jack bills up. You don't just take advantage of cases. You give them straight shooter. You want notes, I give you notes. You want this, I take care of you. You take care of me, I take care of you. And you build that with several different attorneys. You don't use one attorney. Unfortunately, when I was in school, I came out of school, for years I used one attorney. Like 7 years. Guess how many cases he sent me?
Five.
None. Stupid.
Yeah.
I send you, you send me. That's the rule, right? Does it always work out that way perfectly? No. Sometimes you send him two, he sends you one, right? Or you send him one, he sends you three. It's the way it goes, you know what I mean? But as long as you know you're on the same page together and everybody's doing the right thing for the patient and you're helping the patient and you're getting the cases closed, everybody's cool. Get it? Understand that? Now, let's talk about real quick the conversation with the patient, okay? I think this is critical, and I have to leave in a couple minutes. So if a patient walks in, what is the patient thinking right away? What are they thinking if they're in a car accident? Most patients, not always.
They're probably going to be thinking that they're going to make a lot of money off of it.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the way the world we live in. They all think, like, I'm going to get rich from this. You know what I mean? Those days are long gone, dude. Those rich days are over. You know what I mean? So most accidents are minor to moderate accidents. Your major ones are different depending on what happened to the patient. There's different levels of that. It's a whole other discussion because it gets big money, surgeries, that kind of stuff. There's money liens in there. There's actual financing in there. Someone buys the paper. There's people that buy paper for that and finance the whole case, and they get paid on that. They make 60% on that. So if the case is 400 grand, they get 60% of that settlement. Yeah, man. They buy the paper. They buy the doctor's paper. They buy the hospital paper. They buy the patient's paper. They buy everybody's paper. So they get paid first. It's pretty wild. Pretty cool stuff. It's a whole other discussion, okay? So let's unfold that real quick. So often patients walk in. I sit down with the patient. I say, hey, look, Mary, how you doing today? I'm Dr. Joe. Listen, I'm really glad you're here. I'm sorry you're here on these circumstances, but we're going to help you. I'm excited about helping you. I'm going to get you into care. Let me tell you how this whole thing works. And then you explain to them the process. So here it is. Mary, listen, I know you got a car accident. You have about $2,000 damage in your car. Unfortunately, the way the world works today, they look at the damage of your car relative to they think it's a damage inside of you. I've seen people have $2,000 in damage and have a lot of problems. I'm not saying that's you. I'm just saying I've seen it. I see people have $2,000 in damage and have nothing really wrong. So it's relative to the patient and what happened to you, your positioning, what was going on. We're going to find all that stuff out, okay, on our exam in a few minutes. But first, I just want to explain the process because I just want to be transparent about it up front. So here's the thing. Your case is not a big case. It's not going to be a big thing. Do you have an attorney? Yes or no, they say. If they say yes, great. Who is it? If you don't know them, get on the horn. Tell them, I don't know your attorney. I don't work with attorneys I don't know. I'll get on the horn with your attorney tomorrow and meet them for lunch. If I don't feel it's a good fit for me, I will not be accepting you as a patient. That's it. Done. Now the patient knows what right away. What do they know about you? You're not playing around.
Right.
Like, this is it. Cut dry. Boom. That's it. And you play. Don't. I'm telling you, you're going to not listen to me and you're going to get screwed. Right, watch. So you go back and say, look, okay, I have some attorney. If they don't have an attorney, I have a few attorneys I work with. You give them a handful of cards, a few cards. You say, pick one that you like, and they can interview them, and often the attorneys will come out and sign them up at your office, okay? Get that down. So now you gave an attorney one, so now that means that if you had, a $3,000 case that's going to come into your clinic, you should be getting what? Another case from an attorney for another, what, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, mm-hmm. Right? So you didn't make three. You made six with a good attorney, right? And then that relationship is symbiotic, and it continues to work. So you explain to them, look, we're gonna take you under our care to the patient. We're going to give you care. We're going to look at you. We're looking for a maximum improvement in you. Does that mean you're perfect? Does that mean that you're out there, you lost 80 pounds? Does that mean that you're doing Ironmans next week?
It just means they're where they were before the accident.
Or close to it.
Yeah.
Right. So you use your judgment. That's what you went to school for. It's why you're a doctor. It's why they gave you the title. So you use your best judgment. But understand the mathematics and the mechanics behind it, because if you don't, you're going to get caught in the crosshairs and you're going to lose your shirt. And you're going to burn out relationships with attorneys. So often I see these, all these doctors racking a bill up. And like I said earlier, they blow them out of the water, man. And no one gets paid. And then here's what happens. If you don't know the attorney, you don't trust the attorney can send, even with a lien, the attorney's, it's his patient confidentiality. He could turn the check over to the patient and be like, you pay the chiropractor. Is the patient going to pay you?
Nope.
No. Bye. Then guess what you got to do? Go to court, fight it, chase it. I did it. I went to court once 14 times for a case. One case. I went to court 14 times. I got a judgment every time. In other words, I won it every time. At the end of the 14th time, you know what the judge said to me? He said, doctor, sorry, you can't get water out of a stone. You can't get water out of a stone. Dismissed. Don't come back to my court. I lost. She ran with $5,000. Wow. Ran. So don't get caught like that, man. It's good business. It's good practices. You're helping people. They need the help. But don't understand the mechanics behind it, because if you don't, you're going to get lost. You're going to lose money. And we're not in the business to lose money. We're not in the business. Chiropractors so often have this poor man mentality, pastor mentality, that I got to give, and serve, love, love. And I love that. I love it. But it's still business. And you're not in business to give money away and give care away for nothing. So make sure you understand that. Guys, I got to wrap this one up, man. I got to run. I got a conference call. I got to get on. Listen, a couple announcements. Some quick housekeeping. August 26th is the Run for Prevention. It's going to be in Kennesaw. This is hosted by Dr. Joe Esposito. All the money goes back to chiropractic research. All of it. So listen, I need you guys to sign up and get out there and support this. It's a 5K. It's August 26th. It's in the morning. Unfortunately, I'm going to be out of town that weekend training. But I promise you, get other offices involved, call other people. I beg of you to do this. This is a really important thing because the money goes back and helps what we do. So that's one of the things. Two, we're going to be announcing tentative date is possibly September 1st, doing an immersion. I'm going to take about 10 people. We're going to spend from 9 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock at night. And we're going to be doing role-playing, patient scenario stuff. It's going to be a full immersion of what actual conversations happen in the office. We will confirm that date next time on the air. But if that is something you're interested in, please let us know. Email me at sugarhilldoc@gmail.com. I'm only going to take 10 spots because I want you guys to get a full experience. And so if that's something you're interested in, let me know because I want to see what the response is going to be on September 10th. Your boards are the week before that, so that should give you a time to decompress for a week and then go back, dive into learning something. Guys, it's been another killer episode, man. That was a good one, huh?
Really good,
yeah. That was a rock and roll one. That's a good business one right there. Hey, you like this? Share it. If you like it, pass it on. You got questions, email me. Listen, it's only as strong as we listen, take the notes down, absorb it, and utilize it in our lives when we get out there and practice if you're practicing already. Guys, all the best. God bless. See you next time.
See you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for joining us for another amazing episode of Platform for Peaks. I'm your host, Dr. Joseph Clarino. If you're interested in peaking, please contact us at www.sugarhillspinalwellness.com or 678-467-8251.